Hello, everybody.
Hello. Am I still on mute?
is good. It's going to take me some time to get used to this, so bear with me. Okay. Y'all got to bear with me a second here because I'm trying to get used to what I'm doing with some of this. All in good fun. Okay. So you can hear me now. Yay! Might have to pick a shorter song. So anyway, welcome to Vibe Time with Jerry. And tonight I'm going to be presenting a little bit about me, and I'm going to be presenting a little bit about aura and your energy body. So first, I want to make a couple of announcements. I first want to give a shout out to the Freaking Awesome Show for allowing me to have my own talk show, but not only that, for interviewing me last night. That was awesome. So if y'all missed that, you can always go back to that link and look at that. So Ryan, I really appreciate that opportunity. It's awesome. Virginia Paranormal Events. In case y'all, or if anybody is on Facebook, and you, John Stevens is a good friend of ours, and he has made up a page for Virginia Paranormal Events. So if you haven't liked that page, please make sure you go and do that, because it tells you where all the paranormal events are going to be at, and it tells you about all the upcoming events. So if some of y'all, because I noticed some things from Portsmouth, but I know some of my friends that are going to be on here, if y'all are in the Virginia Beach area and things like that, please put it on the page and send it. They'll put it out there. So some upcoming events on the 7th of March at 7 p.m. at the Cabin on 360, which is in Mechanicsville. They are going to be holding a fundraiser there for multiple sclerosis, and it's called Searching for Spirits, Seeking a Cure. Tickets are going to be $25. So if you have any information or have any questions in regards to that event, you can message me if you'd like, or I'm sure that they will be posting that on their page with a link. If you haven't liked the Cabin on 360's page, please make sure that you do that. There's a lot of good events that are held there, so make sure that you do that. So let me start off with a little bit about me, because last night when we did our interview, we talked mostly on things like astral projection, and we talked about meditation, but we didn't talk a lot about some of the things and how I got started and as far as my own personal life. So I had always been able to communicate with spirits or people on the other side, if you will, since I was 6 years old. I actually had a spirit friend name, and his name was Sydney, and he wasn't the greatest influence. I talked to him a lot, but being an adult now and looking back on my spirit friend, I guess you can put it that way, he was just a lost and needed some guidance. So, you know, Sydney, that's what I called him, spent a good portion of my life with me, if you will. I knew that I had always been an intuitive person, but I just really didn't know what being intuitive meant. I can remember growing up, we would stay at our friend's house on the weekends, and they lived on a farm, by the way. So we would stay at this big house on a farm, and they had what they called a friendly spirit in their house. I guess you can call her a friendly spirit, but they called her Miss Annie. And Miss Annie was a trip, because she would be okay with things, like you would hear footsteps coming up the steps at nighttime, or just different things, sometimes a marble going across the floor, or like you could be sitting in a room. There was one incident when I was sitting in a room and I was listening to music, and she came in there and turned it off, and I turned it back on, and she turned the radio back off. Well, after about the third time of me turning the radio back on, she decided that she was going to smack me. So she did. So that was my first physical, like, encounter with a spirit smacking me. So that wasn't the funnest thing. And when I was spending the night there one night, my nickname is Deanie. So people that know me in the neighborhood know me as Deanie. They don't know me as Jerry. They know me as Deanie. That's what people call me. So when one night when we were staying there, I heard my nickname being called Deanie from downstairs. So I went downstairs, and of course, nothing was there. And it was a distinct voice, too, because it mimicked the lady that owned the house. It mimicked her voice. So I honestly thought that it was her, and it found come to find out it really wasn't her. So when I went downstairs, nobody was there. I got scared. And I remember looking out the living room window, and I remember seeing car lights come up the driveway because they lived on a hill. But when I blinked, the car lights were gone. So that was, you know, one of my memorable experiences from when I was younger, and I remember being so scared I couldn't move. You know, I just stayed on the couch for the rest of the night. I wouldn't even go upstairs. I just sat there frozen. So it was a pretty scary experience for me. As I got older, spirits began to be a little bit more stronger, but I really didn't know what to do, and I didn't know how to handle those situations. You know, because, of course, back then, parents like mine, my dad's from the backwoods of Shelby, North Carolina. He's all, excuse me for saying it, the Bible Belt, you know. And so they didn't believe in really any of that stuff. And my mom, she didn't really believe in any of that stuff either. So, you know, what ended up ultimately happening was that I ended up going to a psychiatrist. So my mom and dad ended up taking me to a psychiatrist, and they ended up medicating me when I was younger. And I was on medications for a while, and my dad, I guess, didn't like what the medications was doing, so he got upset, and he eventually actually took me off of those medications. He was like, I don't like this. He actually took them and flushed them down the toilet. So when I was about 16 years old, I remember sitting at my table, kitchen table, my parents were gone, and the kitchen got really dark. And the next thing I knew, I was being shown like a movie of an accident and injuries, and it was right down the corner of my street. And at the time, I didn't pay too much attention to it, but I went ahead and I, you know, got into my car and got ready to go to work, because at the time, I was working on Fort Eustis. And when I got to the corner of my street, here comes the blue truck that I had just saw, you know, as I was sitting at the kitchen table. I'm stopped at the stop sign. Here comes the blue truck past me. A van goes through a stop sign, hits the blue truck, and puts the blue truck into a field. So I'll never forget. It was almost like a premonition of something before it happened to the T. So that scared me to the point I actually went back home, sat at the kitchen table, cried and cried, and I just asked God to take it away from me because I didn't want any of it. I didn't want to see any spirits, and I definitely didn't want to see accidents happen before they happen, if that makes sense. It scared me to death. And so guess what? When I asked for it to be taken away from me, guess what they did? It got taken away from me. Everything was shut down. Spirit world was shut down. Everything was shut down. And at that time, I really didn't care because it was just so scary to me. And there was a period in my time when, you know, when I got older that I actually ended up moving to Georgia. So, and y'all, let me tell you, I lived near Savannah, Georgia. So if I would have had those type of gifts, if you will, when I lived in Savannah, Georgia, or was there all the freaking time, can you imagine what would have happened? Because y'all know just as well as I do, Savannah, Georgia is haunted. I mean, you know, so, and I think about that when I look back on things. I think about things like that. I was like, dang, can you imagine if I were to live there at the time? Now, I do have some friends there that I guess I can go back. I always got friends in Georgia, so I can always go back and, you know, I'm always able to go back there if I ever want to visit Savannah. But it helped me grow. You know, being in Savannah, or being in Georgia, period, at that time period of my life, it really helped me grow to being who I am today, because there was a lot of things that needed to take place. I moved back to Virginia in 1999, and we had a family that we was pretty close to back then, and one of the family members died, and this was in February 2003. Sorry, I'm jumping, but I'm fast-forwarding it to 2003. We ended up going to a funeral, and I remember walking up to Papa and standing at his casket, and I remember telling him goodbye and touching his hand. And when I touched his hand, it was like he stepped out behind me. And I can't explain it to you. It was like everything that was shut off was reactivated. And I remember Papa would not leave me alone the entire night because he had a message for his wife. And it is the scenes like it is when you watch Ghost and Whoopi Goldberg where they bother you all night long. That really does happen. And he just would not leave me alone. He like stood at my bedside and was telling me that I needed to write messages. And he even gave me a title for the message, which the message was Spirit Never Dies. That's what he told me. So I ended up auto-writing, and I'm going to read to you what he made me write. The spirit never dies. Although it may seem like our loved ones are gone, they're not. They're on another level. Their spirit is around us at family gatherings, in our souls, in our memories, and especially in our hearts. You can talk to spirit. It's okay. They may not talk back to you, but they can still hear you. And that was a specific message that he wanted me to give to his wife. Now, y'all got to keep in mind that they were very religious. So I was sitting over here trying to figure out how I was going to give her this message. It was very hard, and I sat up for a good while before I ripped the page out of the book to bring it to her, but I ended up, he wouldn't leave me alone, was part of the problem. So I ended up going to Mammy, and I ended up telling her, I was like, you know, I don't know if you believe in this kind of stuff, but Pop-Up has a message for you. And he made me sit up half the night until I wrote it, because I kept hearing him talk, and I was very reluctant to write. I was like, I'm not going to write this crap, because there's no way that this is happening to me. But it did happen, and I ended up delivering the message to her, and he went away. It was like he was at peace as soon as I delivered that message. So when I tell people I get stuck listening to muffled music, I mean that. I have had friends that I have constantly told, can you give such and such this message? Oh, yeah, I'll give it to them. I'm going to allow her to remain nameless. But she knows who she is. I had to listen to muffled music for nights, day in and day out. And every night, every like couple nights, I'd message her and I'd be like, did you give him the message? No, I know you haven't, because I'm still hearing the music, you know. So they won't leave you alone until you give the message. So auto-writing, which is when spirit talks to you, you have to write stuff down. So auto-writing became a lot for me, and I ended up having to keep a notebook by my bed at nighttime. And I would either message the person, because sometimes the messages would come through Facebook, not through Facebook, but I would have to send the messages through Facebook. Like a loved one would come through Facebook, and then I would have to deliver those messages, you know, kind of take a picture of what I had to auto-write and send it to them. So, you know, it became a lot and very overwhelming for me. So eventually I had to learn how to deliver the message and detach from the entire situation, if that made sense. So for some of y'all that, you know, do communicate with spirit world, it is a good thing to, you know, keep notebooks by your bed, you know, not even just with communication with spirit world, with dream recall, all that stuff. You should keep a notebook by your bed, because that way you can document, you know, what comes up. So, you know, I have so many notebooks filled with numbers, messages, past life visions. It's unbelievable the amount of stuff that I have in these books. So with me having what I have, it's a good thing, but it's been a struggle for me. And hopefully some of this stuff helps people too. The struggle for me has really been other people and other people's beliefs. You know, because people, we were in church, you know, every Sunday, and I always thought that I was going to burn in hell for what I had. And I would have people tell me that. I would have people tell me, and I still have people tell me today, you know, oh, you're practicing witchcraft. Or I had one lady tell me that I wasn't a child of God one time, and that was very recent. And she goes to church and told me that. And I'm like, really? Well, who are you? You know, so it's been a real struggle, and it's been very hard for me because for the longest time I felt ashamed because I didn't know who to talk to, and I felt like, you know, that there was nobody that was going to be able to relate to me, you know, what was going on. And so everything felt cold. Like, the world felt very cold to me because people were so judgmental. And so it was really hard for me. But one day, I was taking a walk in Urbana, and I stumbled. And when I say stumbled, I literally tripped on the sidewalk. And I looked up, and I saw this essential oil / crystal shop. And I was like, what is that? So I go in there, and the whole damn place is covered with spirits when I walk in there. And the lady that owned the shop, her name was Katie Bug. And so when I got in there and saw that there was one big party going on in her shop, you know, and I told her about it, she kind of looked at me, and her response to me was, you're a reader. And I think I said, you know, some of this stuff last night, but she, you know, told me, she said, you're a reader. And I'm like, I'm a what? You know, and she's like, you're a reader. And I was like, oh, there's finally a name for what I had, you know. And so I was just intrigued with her whole shop, the oils, the crystals. I mean, her entire shop was wall-to-wall oils and crystals. And I felt so at peace there, you know, and I felt like an instant connection there. So when I left her shop, I felt relieved, and I didn't feel so much alone anymore. And I'm going to tell you, I went around like for the longest time thinking that I needed to be locked up in Eastern State because I thought I was going nuts with all these spirits coming to me and them just constantly talking to me. And I was like, I got to go to Eastern State. I mean, I remember literally wanting to do that because, you know, like I said, I felt alone and I thought I was going nuts. So I would visit Katie Bug's shop quite often, like I said, because I felt a sense of peace and connection there. And I began at that time to learn about crystals and essential oils. And so it's called the Ralph Wormley House, and it's still in Urbana. I mean, her essential oil shop isn't there anymore. It's abandoned. It's not abandoned, but it's up for rent, commercial rent. But I'm going to tell you, people aren't going to stay in there because that place is so haunted. It literally is one of the most haunted houses in Urbana. I don't care what anybody says. It is literally one of the most haunted houses out here. So people are not going to stay in it, and some of the spirits there are very mean. They'll scratch you. They don't care. I was walking by there the other day taking a picture, and I could see the man looking from the window right down at me with his evil eye, you know, and I'm like, ugh, stay up where you're at. But Katie was one that also told me that I needed to look into Reiki and practice Reiki and learn how to do Reiki. So eventually I did go to school for Reiki. I went to Reiki Blessings Academy, and I learned Reiki. And I ended up getting my master's degree in spiritual healing. So, you know, it's taken me places doing Reiki and just, you know, learning those things, because to me all that goes hand in hand, every bit of it. You know, with Katie I felt better knowing that there was a place out there that I could, you know, connect to. So I remember one of my friends, I remember going to work one time and telling one of my friends that I was going to burn in hell. And I remember her giving, she gave me these scriptures and she's like, no, you're not. She's like, you're not crazy. A lot of people have this and you're just learning to, you know, learning how to do things and fine tuning things. And for some reason, when she said that, things began to fall into place for me a little bit. And I slowly began to embrace what I had, and Katie helped me with that. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have, I don't know where I would have been at that time, because mentally it really sucked. And I think that's why I'm so passionate today with helping people with this, because, you know, I felt alone and I don't want people to feel that way. So sometimes every so often I'll ask myself, is this really happening? I still do. I still question myself with that, but, it's just been overwhelming and exhausting. But, you know, now I'm getting older, my gifts are getting stronger, and now I'm at the point I really don't give a damn what people say about me. I don't care what people think. You know, if a person believes in what I have, they believe in it. If they don't, they don't. I'm okay with that. Now, if you would have caught me back then, it was a struggle, but now I'm to the point where I'm in a good place with it. I still do sometimes question things, and I have to get validation from spirit before I'll give people messages. I know that sounds weird, but they'll have to tell me color or something before I start auto writing. You know, I don't just sit down and start writing. I'll ask them intuitively, okay, you need to give me something, whether it's a big smile upon your face, a color, something that, you know, I know that they're going to know that they're going to say, okay, yeah, she is right. That is them. I don't just sit down and auto write like that. Now, with my gift in the beginning, spirits were coming at me left and right, and I didn't know what to do with that either. It was very overwhelming, because I know that I have friends that are going through this phase right now. This is why I'm touching on this so much. It was very overwhelming for me, and I did not know what to do. So I remember calling my mentor, Katie, and I remember telling her, I was like, if I don't help all these spirits, I'm going to lose my gift. And she was like, you're not going to lose your gift, and you can't help out all of them. I remember her telling me that. And she was like, you know what, you're just going to have to set appointments with them just like you do regular people. And I was like, huh? You know, she's like, you're going to have to schedule appointments with them like you do regular people. So I was like, okay. So I literally would schedule appointments if I had one show up in my bedroom door, because that's where they show up a lot at. And in my bedroom door, they'll show up there full form too. No transparency, full form, solid figures. I would tell them to come back. I'd be like, I'm sorry, you need to come back at 1 a.m. or 2 o'clock, and I'll do some auto writing then. And it has happened. I mean, I've got friends that can validate that, you know, that, yeah, that really happened, because she's the one who ended up giving me the message. You know, so I had to learn to set up appointments with them. So for my friends out there that are dealing with people on the other side, or you're just getting in, you know, you're just getting to know what you have here, you want to set up appointments with them. If they sit in your car when you're driving, because I can be innocently minding my own business, driving my car down the road, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, a spirit will sit right in that passenger side, and I'll be like, I'm driving right now, please don't mess with me, it's distracting. You know, as weird as that sounds, I have to do that, or they'd be really disrespectful. I'd be trying to go to the bathroom, and they'd pop their head in real quick, and I'd be like, can you get out? I'm trying to go to the bathroom. Out. You know, shower is the worst thing. Be showering, and I'm not lying. They'd pop their head in real quick, and I'd be like, you got to get out. I'm taking a shower. And I'd cover myself, because it's a violation of my privacy, you know, and I'm like, y'all need to get out. So, you know, those things have really, really happened, you know. So it's just, even with the historical places that I go to, you know, I'd be like, I got to schedule an appointment with you later, because I'm trying to enjoy myself. So it's really funny with people, because a lot of times people are like, well, how come spirit's not around you all the time? Well, they are, but sometimes I shut stuff down because I need a mental break from things. And sometimes spirit don't want to talk either. You know, I have a lot of people ask me questions like, well, how come I don't have anybody with me? It has nothing to do with you not having anybody with you. Sometimes they don't want to talk, and sometimes I'm not tuned in. When you're tuning into spirit world, you're tuning in like a fine-tuned radio, like a wave. I can't explain it to you. I get a wave, a noise in my ear, and I fine-tune it, and I sit there and I focus on that noise, and then you'd be surprised. It's like one big chatterbox. So that is my world, you know, and it's my world on a daily basis. It's not something that I just see once a week. I see spirit every single day, whether it is this afternoon, perfect example, innocently washing my dishes, and it gets me every single freaking time. I'll sit there and I'll be washing dishes, and then I'll look out the window, and there it passes, this little head up underneath my window, and I'm thinking it's either Vicente or Victor, and when I go out the door to look, there's nobody there. It's not them. It is a shadow figure that passes back and forth at the door. You know, so I even have a pet that passes back and forth. And I got a cat that sometimes gets in the bed, but I know it's not Coco because Coco wouldn't have done that, my spirit cat. But, you know, so it's a daily thing. You know, I can be walking in broad daylight and I'll see a shadow figure pass. It's just a daily part of my life that I have, you know, gotten used to doing at this, seeing it at this point. But ever so often, things will scare me. I might round a corner, you know, around the corner of my kitchen, and there'll be a solid figure standing there. And I've ran the other way too. So that is a little glimpse into my life, because a lot of people know about my past history and my story, but a lot of people I have just met and they don't know. And so I wanted to give you a little insight about me, you know, before I moved on to some other things. And, you know, with the Reiki and with the Reiki is separate from spirit world. Understand that is two different things. Reiki is energy work. It's a Japanese art, but it can be learned, and it's to help people, you know, pretty much find themselves is what it is. But, you know, I'm able to read aura too. I can see aura color. I can't see all the layers of aura on the aura color, because some aura color you can't see with the naked eye, but I can see the first two layers of a person's aura. And, you know, that has taken a lot of practice as well. So it's not something that, you know, that doesn't come overnight as far as, you know, being able to see aura. But that's what we're going to touch on tonight. Hopefully, I think I have enough time to do it. But we're going to be calling it and learning how to embrace our energy body, because everything around us is made up of energy, to include you. And, you know, for the longest time, I couldn't see aura. But when I quit my job back in 2016, I was sitting at a business meeting, and I could see this like black spot over this lady's head, and I just wanted to take my hand and close it. It was the first time I was able to see something like that. And then I started seeing like color around her, and then I started seeing her in pixels, and I was like, what in the hell, excuse me, is going on? I'm like, why am I seeing all these freaking pixels? And it started to happen more frequently. When I started to do Reiki, I started to just see different pixels. When I do Reiki, I see you, but you're in pixel form. And as weird as that sounds, it's the truth. You're in little tiny pixels. So I began to see things differently, you know, and I guess that comes with that energy body. So what makes us so unique is that everybody's energy is different. No two people have the same energy. That's why, like, if somebody else does Reiki, okay, that's fine. Your energy is not going to be the same as my energy. We got energies, but they're not going to be the same energy. Same thing with massage. One massage therapist isn't going to give the same massage as the other person gives. That's why with this competition stuff, I've never understood things, because everybody's energy is different. There is no two people that carry that carry the same energy. So, with that said, if people, when you carry a low frequency of energy, that can lead to illnesses and it can lead to depression. So one of the things that, you know, you need to learn how to do, or people need to learn how to do, is just to be able to raise that energy, you know, raise that vibration of your energy so that you can, you know, understand a deeper you, if that makes sense, and so that you can go into a different level of consciousness. Your energy field, I call it your bubble. When people ask me what your aura is, it's your bubble. Energy field and aura are pretty much the same thing. And it's composed of different things. It has light to it, it has frequency to it, and it has color to it. So your energy field, well, it expands from the body, which, of course, we call your aura, which is your bubble of space. Like, have you ever felt presences behind you? Or the hair stand up on the back of your neck, or hair stand up on your arms? These are examples of someone or something in your aura, in your field of energy. So, you know, try to be mindful of things like that. You know, our aura is that beautiful bubble of light that kind of, you know, protects us. And it's that space. And it's, like I said, it's made up of different colors. So your energy field is electromagnetic energy that is commonly, of course, known as your aura. And it has a bunch of layers to it, too. So it expands outside your physical body, and it serves as an early warning sign to, like, oncoming illnesses for people. Sometimes I was reading some information earlier about auras too, and they were talking about when you get somebody that looks at auras, a certain color can relate to certain illnesses as well. So sometimes a person that can see aura can see that something like an illness can occur before it's even diagnosed, if that makes sense, because there you can read the aura color. Your aura colors don't lie. They change, but they don't lie. And we all do have a main aura color too. You just have to ask your mind to be able to see what, you know, you ask it, what is my main aura color? And it'll show you what your main aura color is. So your aura is the blue to who you are, what you think, how you feel, your spiritual side, and your connection to the universe as well. There are so many colors. If y'all want to grab a pen, you can do that, because there are so many colors that are associated with aura. There's pinks, yellows, greens, blues, reds, oranges, whites, blacks. All these colors have meaning to them. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over a few basic aura colors and their meanings. So that you can kind of understand when I say your aura is light pink or light blue, you'll know what some of that stuff means. So let's start off with that. Light or bright pinks means that you are a loving, sensitive, pure, compassionate person. You are tender and sensual, and you're relaxed and at peace. So when you have those colors, because a lot of times I'll tell people, you got a nice pink aura, and they'll look at me like, is she nuts? But it just means that you're that type of person. You're very relaxed, and you're at peace. Now, if you have a dark pink aura, I haven't really seen dark, dark pink on people, but if you have a dark pink aura, that normally means that you are immature and dishonest. So that's what that dark pink means. Now, I have some friends I know that are either on here or they may be listening, and I do have some friends that are doing aura. They're looking at people's aura, so y'all, you know, take note if you see that hot pink or that dark pink one. All right, so yellow. Yellow is related to your life energy and spleen. It represents inspiration, intelligence, creativity, and optimism. If you have a dark yellow or brownish color aura, that means that you have a lack of self-confidence, you may be fatigued, or you're trying to make up for lost time. I will never forget when I went to a meeting and I was listening to this man speak, and he was fairly new. I'm not going to name names because we have a very small community. And I sat there and I looked at that aura, and it was the darkest, yellowest aura I had ever seen. And I was like, you know, he is up here not having any self-confidence about himself at all. And you could tell based on that aura color, because that's what I have a tendency to do, which I hope this don't scare any people that are listening to me. I have a tendency, I can't help it, I look at an aura, because your energy is going to tell me all about you before anything pops out your mouth, you know. That's just me, and I can't, you know, I can't help that. You know, there are some people that I've met recently, I feel like I've known them in another lifetime, for a lifetime. I felt like I already know them. I know their energy. I feel safe with them and comfortable. You know, and then there's some people, I ran across a guy today, that energy, there was just something off, and I can't even describe it. It just made me feel very icky. I went home and saged, because it just, yuck, is all I'm going to say about that. But anyway, your brownish, yucky, pee-looking aura, that's the only way I know how to describe it, means of that lack of self-confidence, or you're trying to make up for lost time. But when you have a bright yellow aura, that can mean that you are struggling to control, or you have a fear of losing the respect of others. So some people, I have seen a lot of bright yellow auras. Even mine sometimes goes into a yellow. I don't like the yellow part of aura. I just don't. I know it's a part of you, but I really don't like it. Yellow is not my color anyway, to begin with. So that's going to lead us into green. So the color green is related to your heart and your lungs. It represents growth, balance, and other sources of change. Now, if you got a muddy green aura, and I have seen it on one person, and I'll allow them to remain nameless, it represents jealousy, being a victim, self-blaming others, insecurity, and that you have a very low self-esteem. So, and it's a weird color, too. And when it says muddy green, it is muddy green. It almost looks like moss from outside. You know how the tree moss grows and it gets that yucky green color? That's what it really does look like when, for my people out here that are studying aura color. But when you have a bright green aura, it represents love, healer, and that you're centered. So, you know, I haven't seen a lot of green colors. I'll see it mixed in like a white with a light green or a light pink with white. I have seen those colors or rainbow auras before, which I really like the rainbow. The biggest one I see with people are pinks and whites. I have seen a lot of blue, which leads me to the next aura color, dark blue. So your blue aura, and y'all keep in mind there are many different layers of color, but I'm just kind of touching on the basic ones. Dark blue is an uncertainty of the future. It's a fear of speaking the truth. And if you have a royal blue aura, it is spiritual or new opportunities. A dull or soft blue means that you have clear thoughts and that you're intuitive and that you're truthful. So, I see a lot of the blue auras because, I mean, a lot of people, including myself, you don't know what the future is going to hold. So some of that blue, some of those blues are going to be in there. And that's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, I see quite a bit of blue. And there are certain days when I'm feeling that way. And I'll look at my own aura. I look at mine every day in the mirror just to see where it's at. It was turquoise for a few days. I thought that was just a really pretty color. But, you know, aura color changes with, I guess, what goes on, or sometimes it stays the same for quite a few days. And I've ran into a couple people and they have the same freaking aura color every single time I look at their aura. And I'm like, damn, is it ever going to change? And it just doesn't. It stays the same, which is pretty cool to me. But anyway, red is another color in an aura. And I think I've only seen like a blood red one time in a person. I just looked at his aura, and he was pissed off, though. I mean, that's why it was that red. So red is related to your physical body and heart or circulation. It's the darkest color. It normally depicts anger, depression, worries, obsessions, unforgiving nature, and anxiety. And like I said, I have only seen in the whole time that I have done aura, I've only seen that red stand out like a beacon on one person, and he at that time was very angry. And when I saw him again and had to look at his aura again, I could see that, you know, he was still very angry, you know, and carrying anger will kill you. And carrying stress will kill you too. So you got to, you know, kind of watch that because it comes out in your aura. You can sit there and try to be cool as a cucumber all you want to, but your aura colors don't lie, you know. And there are some people that are think they can play that off real well, but that you can't hide your aura colors. So orange is another color. It's related to your emotions and the reproductive organs. It's a color of good health, excited nature, energy, creativeness, social future. If you have an orange-yellow aura, it means intelligence, creativeness, detail-oriented, or a perfectionist. So I haven't seen too many, like, orange colors. Like I said, when I'm looking at aura, I see a lot of white, pinks, yellows, some greens, rainbow, indigo is another one. Black, when you have the black aura, and sometimes, you know, when people come in for Reiki, their entire aura color is black. And that relates to being under stress, or you've had past life hurts, or grief, unresolved grief, because sometimes we do get hurt by things, and what do? We shove it. Instead of processing, we don't do that. We shove it. And then, we think it's going to go away when it didn't really go away. We just pushed it deep down within, thinking that it went away. But it's, you know, a lot of times when I come across people with a black aura, we will talk about some things. Things end up coming out about past life trauma with people when we, you know, when they come here for Reiki, some of that stuff has happened. You know, and then I've had people, you know, that will say they haven't had any past trauma, but the aura color does not lie. And I'm like, okay. And then later they'll come back and say that they did, you know, but because we all have had past trauma. I can't think of anybody that hasn't, you know, had past trauma. But sometimes that stuff runs real deep with people, you know, and it shows in the aura. So, you know, we got to go deep within sometimes. White. Now, when a person has white aura, it is angelic presences around a person. It means higher dimensions. It reflects purity. When you get white flashes of light, like sometimes I'll do Reiki and I'll see white flashes of light around people, that means new beginnings. And I'll tell the person, I'll be like, oh, you got some little white flashes of light coming up. But that's what that means, is new beginnings for people. Indigo, my favorite. Color. Indigo is my favorite color as far as the colors out there, because the indigo, when somebody has an indigo aura, it's so pretty, you know, it's just such a pretty color. But that relates to your pituitary gland, and it relates to a person being divine or being sensitive. And then I've had people that have had rainbow auras. I've ran into people that's had though, and on occasionally I'll get my little rainbow aura, but the rainbow aura means that a person is a healer. They're a learned Reiki master. Most of the time when you see a person that has a rainbow aura, and a lot of times when I see people with a rainbow aura, I'll ask them and they happen to do Reiki or energy work of some sort, then they'll have like a rainbow of all the colors. And it's pretty cool when you can see that with people. And sometimes even a person may not know that they are an energy worker, if that makes sense, or a light worker. So you got to kind of tell them, hey, you got this aura standing out, this particular aura color, and this is what you should be doing. You know, just like Katie Bug had to do me, you know, she told me this is what you need to be doing. And at the time I, you know, didn't understand, but, you know, look where I am now. Now I understand, you know. Dirty gray aura, because I have seen people with some dirty gray auras. That's just blockage a lot of blockages, energy blocks, you know, because a lot of people do have energy blockages. So your aura color does change from minute to minute, or it can remain a steady shade for a long period of time. Many situations and things will affect the shades of your aura colors. It can be anywhere from your moods to major issues. You can shift the color of your aura, and the energy can simply be switching your thoughts and your willpower. So you can actually change the color of your aura if you want to. Gratitude is one way of changing that aura color. You know, once, of course, you learn how to look at your aura color, which I am going to go into a little bit of that, because I know that I'm going to end up running out of time with some of this stuff, and it honestly goes pretty deep, you know, with the, with your, this particular session goes pretty deep, you know, because it'll just, if I go into the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth layer, it'll throw people off, and I don't want to do that. I wanted to try to keep this as basic as I could, because a lot of people, you know, I've got people that are learning to do aura. So, you know, gratitude is one of the things. You know, we can think 5,000 negative thoughts, but we need to be grateful for things. And when you start feeling grateful for the things that you have instead of what you don't have, that starts to raise the vibration, because we always focus on what we don't have instead of what we do have. And I know that people tell me all the time, it's easier said than done. Well, damn, you got to start somewhere with it. You know, so you have to consciously work at that daily. So when negative thoughts or feelings come about, you have to recognize it and switch it to something else to be grateful, because that helps change that aura color. You know, like I said, we focus on everything that we don't have instead of everything that we do have. And you have to consciously think about that. So when people tell me, again, it's easier said than done, I get it, but start somewhere, you know. So energy-based systems of healing are based on life force, and life force and energy flow freely throughout the body. And when energies are blocked, people start to get sick if they're not flowing at 100%. And I don't know how to explain it. When you're flowing at 100%, you're not feeling anything. You're not feeling any stress. You're not feeling any worry. You're not feeling any depression. If somebody does or says something to you, it's not going to affect you. Meaning, like, let's say that somebody was trying to be a pain in the butt or be a jerk to you. It's not, you're going to roll it. You're not even going to think twice about it. You're going to continue on your path. And you have to consciously think about that too, because I do have some people that are struggling with that as well. You know, things are going to be thrown at you every day. It's going to change that precious little aura color. And in order for you to change things back, you're going to have to be grateful for some things, and you just got to keep walking that path, because I guarantee you, I got people that throw wrenches in my shit daily, you know, and it's like, really? And then I just got to remember, you know, what I'm doing here. So your energy, which surrounds and flows through you, it's essential for life function and for life itself. So as far as energy work and your aura, this stuff dates back to, goodness gracious, years upon years ago, and back in the Egyptian times, you know. So it's something that's been around for many, many, many years that people have been studying about. I don't want to go too heavily I can go into the layers, but I don't want to go too heavily into it because I know I'm going to run out of time. But there are several layers. One is the etheric body or physical body. That's the one that you can see in the mirror. Okay. So that is your first layer of aura right there. Just so y'all know, that's what it's called, the etheric body or physical body. So it's the one that you can look at your hand, focus for a minute, and you'll be able to see that color stand out, you know, from your hand. And so that's that first layer that you're able to see. And then we have the mental body, the third layer, which is like your vehicle for intellect. So there's different layers, the celestial layer or sixth layer of your aura. There's so many different layers of it, but the first one is the physical one. So I'm going to jump into learning how to see your aura, and I hope I'm not confusing people, because that's not my intentions. learning to see your aura takes practice. And one of the things that you do is you focus on a spot of your body, on your body, or another person's face for about a good 60 seconds. Now, if you start to see double of them, then that means that you're overdoing it. You're eye straining. So you need to back off, blink, and do it again. And you're just kind of looking at that spot for about a good 60 seconds without taking your eyes off of them, and you see what colors come up. Most of the time, you'll be able to start to see some white come out, you know, from their face or the side of their skin, you know. Or you can go outside and look at a pine tree or tops of trees. That's another good way if y'all want to learn how to read aura, is, you know, not just looking at a person, but sit outside and focus on the treetop and just kind of look at it for about a good 60 seconds, and then you'll start to see the white come up from the trees, and that is the outer edges of the aura. And when you get really good at it, then you can see the damn pollen coming off of everything. You'll see all the green and the just yucky pollen that we have to deal with. But you'll start to see that outer layer of white, you know, of that white aura. So, like I said, going out and looking at trees is really the best thing, because they're almost like a human makeup in a way. As far as the aura. So that is a good way to start seeing it. So I hope I didn't confuse anybody with that. You can stand in the mirror and look at yourself that way. I can see my aura if I'm sitting here looking at it like I'm doing now, because I like to play with mine a lot. I know that sounds weird, but I'll put my fingers, I'll just put my fingers together and kind of look at the color mesh with each other. But you can look in the mirror and just kind of look at yourself and you know, look at the outlining of you, or look at the outlining of your face, and you'll be able to see that color. You know, so I hope that some of this has been helpful this evening. We'll probably get, you know, I can get more into aura at a, you know, later time, because like I said, aura goes deep. But this just skimmed the surface of what aura is. So it goes a lot deeper than that. But before I go, because I know I don't have too much longer, next week I will be having Cameron Curry from California on as a guest. And y'all want to get on board with that, because Cameron is I'm not going to give too much about him, but he is a healer. So, you know, he will be my special guest next week, and I'm looking forward to it. And I hope that y'all tune in next week to Cameron Curry, because he's really good at what he does. And I'll give him a short introduction, but not much of one, because he'll be able to explain it all to y'all. So anyway, I hope that y'all have a great night. For those of you who tuned in, I really, really appreciate it. And if you have any questions, hit me up on Facebook. You can follow me on Instagram. I have Twitter. You know, so, and I have my YouTube channel. So just, if you got any questions, you can ask, you know, message them to me on Facebook, or just friend me on Facebook if you haven't done that already. So I appreciate y'all's support, and I'm going to cut it because I don't want to be kicked off. So y'all, have a great night, and thank you so much.